Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Sports Rage. Level 2 has begun. I am Gable Morenci. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates joining us on this Memorial Day Monday night meltdown. George Kurtz is going to step up, and it's Sports Grid's very own from Long Island, New York. And we'll talk New York Islanders. We'll get into some Major League Baseball as well, although I got to be honest, I really haven't paid as much attention to baseball over the last week or so. I've been so entrenched in this hockey stuff and, like, you know, the NBA as well, although I kind of, tonight, you know, the intensity level wasn't there in the NBA. Tomorrow it will be. It's a big, big-time game, man. Big, big-time game. If Phoenix, like, Phoenix have been given a lifeline here. And, you know, it's funny you notice how certain teams get, like, I can see it now. Like, if the Lakers lose, oh, yeah, but AD wasn't there. Yeah, yeah, but when the Lakers beat the Heat last year, Goran Dragic wasn't there, right? Bam wasn't there, right? That doesn't matter, though, right? Like, it doesn't count. It's funny. Like, when the Raptors won, somehow it was because other people are hurt. It's funny how, like, some teams win because of injuries and other teams. No, no, it's because of, you know, it's like the double standard. So this evening, the Utah Jazz, and I'll tell you what, the Utah Jazz have dialed it up a notch. They're looking good, 120 to 113. Game goes over the number. Utah wins by 7. Washington gets a win. And, you know, you figured Washington were going to play spirited. Somebody ran on the court tonight. Things are getting stupid in the NBA right now, like really stupid. And, you know, like everyone can get a laugh out of this stuff, but you know what sucks? They're going to change, like, they're going to change the way we watch basketball. So this is what's happened so far. Trae Young has been spit on. Somebody dumped popcorn on Russell Westbrook. Somebody threw a bottle at Kyrie Irving last night. Somebody ran on the court tonight to touch the backboard. Ja Morant's parents and girlfriend were racially harassed in Utah. Like, really? Like, we're not even, like, really? We're not even out of the first round yet. We're not even out of the first round yet. Like, this is NBA fans? What the hell's wrong with you people? Do what I do when I go to NBA games. Get drunk and yell at people, all right? You know, like, really? But I'm not. You know, like, all right, like, it's like a nightly thing now. They got to start tasing people on the court. Just start tasing them. Teach them a lesson. Bring it.
To be honest, we should come with a warning label.
Caution.
24-hour sports talk
may cause mild addiction.
Get on the grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everywhere.
Radio,
the internet,
TV,
satellite,
and our mobile app.
We make it easy.
Like,
real easy.
In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This team is fired up. We came here to play.
All right.
He'll lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it.
Mo, $23 on New York.
Late night anger management class continues. I am Gable Morenci. Throwing it down. Sirius XM channel 204, a spirited chat this evening. Shout out to everybody joining us in our chat on our AM radio affiliates and on Sirius XM channel 204. Let's bring in Sports Grid's George Kurtz right now. Well, we're all fired up about the Montreal Canadiens eliminating the Toronto Maple Leafs. George Kurtz was stressing out his New York Islanders looking to avert a 0-2 deficit, and they win in overtime. How you doing, George?
Well, you know, it's amazing. A couple hours ago, not so good when they blow a 2-goal lead, but winning in overtime certainly relieved a lot of that anxiety.
Yeah, it's well, you know what? It's the NHL playoffs, George. Nothing's going to come easy for either team. If the Islanders would have lost tonight, they would have been done down 0-2. Even going back home, they would have been done. I still get the feeling that Boston are going to find a way, but hey, we've got a close series here right now. What was your prediction before this thing started?
Well, I had Boston representing the East from the beginning, so I'm not going to change now because the Islanders beat Pittsburgh. I think they are the best overall team. I think the Islanders beat Pittsburgh, but you can make a good argument that the Islanders beat Pittsburgh at least four of those six games because of Jarry, right? I mean, Pittsburgh outplayed them. They outplayed them. The Islanders had the better goaltending. That was the determining factor there. They're not going to have that here. It'll be about even. Rask is a good goaltender. Yeah, so I think Boston's going to go on eventually. I think it'll be a long series, at least six games, but I still think Boston is the best team in the East.
You know, one thing, though, we've seen the Islanders have success against the Boston Bruins, specifically at home in the past. And this, you know, this Bruins team isn't past Bruins teams. They're still good, but they're not getting any younger. It's kind of an old team, you know what I'm saying? So, it's it's a winnable series. It's a winnable series for the New York Islanders. I believe it. My deal with this is I think the Bruins are the better team, but I don't think they should be favored as much as they are all the time, George. I think the numbers are too high in these games. Like, you know what
I
mean? Like,
it's,
that's the thing. I think Boston are better, but they're pretty big favorites all the time. And I said this about the Canadiens all the time, like last year, and it was the same thing this year again. Last year with the Canadiens, they played the Penguins in the playoffs. And the Penguins, every game, were like minus 200. And the Canadiens beat them in four, right? And then they played the Philadelphia Flyers. Every game, the Canadiens were like plus 150. It went seven. So even though you lost, they lost the series, you still won betting on them. And it was the exact same thing with the Maple Leafs here. Like, dude, the Maple Leafs were minus 220 tonight, George. Like, why? How? It's game seven. Like, they've lost the last two games. They haven't won in 17 years. And they're going to be minus 220. And then you get Boston in these same price ranges where, I don't know, you see these games are going to overtime. Like, you know, anytime games and a series, you know these games are going to go overtime. Why should one team be a minus 200 favorite?
Yeah, once again, I agree with you across the board here. Maverick, I should thank you because of all the tweets you sent out earlier today. I don't know if I was planning on betting the Toronto-Montreal game. I think I was just going to let it go. I certainly wasn't going to bet on Toronto. All the numbers were against it. Then I saw all your tweets, and I'm thinking, he's right. He's right. It's too good to not bet on Montreal. Muzzin's not going to play. They haven't won. You know, they keep losing game sevens. They haven't 17 years since they won a playoff series here. So I ended up betting Montreal. So I thank you for that, Gabe. I really do think it was your tweets. See, all your tweets earlier today, I'm like, he's right. He's right. How am I not betting Montreal? Especially at the value price it was. And I think the same thing sort of for the Islanders here because, you know, the Islanders are not the sexy team. They have to play boring hockey to win. There's nobody on that team that really is going to crack a top line, maybe of any of the remaining teams in the playoffs, right? I mean, Barzal has 4 points in the playoffs. And people think he's a great center. He's a good setup guy. You know, he needs great wings to be a number one, a really true top line player here. But that whole top line has almost been invisible. You know, you want to argue that Nelson line is the top line? I wouldn't argue that. That line really is the top line. Nelson, Beauvillier, and Bailey. Even though that's not a great top line either. But that top line of the Islanders, Barzal, Eberle, Komarov, which is just a joke that he's playing there. If that line doesn't produce, I don't think the Islanders have a shot.
As we stated, though, the Islanders do have a home ice advantage, I think. Right? There is something special about that building and the Islander fans. There's not a ton of Islander fans, but the Islander fans that are there are hardcore. And the team really does seem to feed off them. I think we're looking at a seven-game series here. I still have to give the nod to Boston, but the Islanders are right here, man. The Islanders are right here. And, of course, the bracket has now been set. So the winner of this series will play the winner of Tampa Bay and Carolina. We weren't on over the weekend when this series started, so I never gave my pick. But for people that tune into the program nightly, no, I did like Tampa Bay in this series. I do think Tampa Bay are better than Carolina. Look, Carolina literally lost to Nashville, guys, all right? So, and I don't handicap series is by, oh, look, they barely beat this other team. But I do think Tampa are just a step up. You know what I mean? They've knocked on the door so often over the years, and they finally won the cup. We're talking about a bunch of guys, George, with the Tampa Bay Lightning that have played in big-time games, man. They played in Olympics. They've played in Stanley Cups. They've won and they've lost. They've seen it all. These are tough guys to beat in a playoff series like this.
I think Tampa Bay's the best team in the NHL. All right, so that's how I feel about them. I was worried somewhat about them versus Florida in the early going because, you know, hey, Kucherov hadn't played the entire season. Stamkos had at least the last month off. I thought maybe they might have trouble game one and two in Florida because, get up to hockey speed. Get up to playoff hockey speed. That could take a game or two. They proved that false. Right, they had no problem scoring right away and playing great hockey. Ended up being Vasilevskiy who was a worry. He wasn't playing all that well, right? And the defense was playing even worse. They were letting up the most slot shots of the playoff teams, and Vasilevskiy had the 15th worst save percentage against those shots. But then he had that shutout in Game 6, right? And then he played so well last night. He's found his game again. And I agree with you. I brought up the same thing yesterday in Game Live, how, yeah, Carolina beat Nashville, but, man, it took a lot of overtime to do it. And that Nashville team, I mean, once again, they're sort of the Islanders of that division. Nobody on that team is a goal scorer, right? And yet a lot of goals came in there. A lot of goals came in there. So I was worried about somewhat about Carolina. Maybe they were looking ahead to Tampa Bay, knowing that they were going to play them next round, whatever it might be. I think it's going to be a good series. I think it's going to go a ways. I have Tampa Bay in six again. But I think Tampa Bay is still the best team in the NHL. I think we're staring at a Tampa Bay-Colorado Stanley Cup.
What did you think of DeBoer starting Leonard instead of Marc-Andre Fleury after the seven-game series?
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, Joe Ranieri and I, in Game Live. Why? Yeah, was there an injury we didn't know about? Did they just figure, hey, you know what, we're not going to win Game 1 anyway?
No,
we played
no
seven,
injury.
They've had a week off, we're going to get trounced, let's get Fleury some rest. You know, it's an interesting, you just don't see that. Leonard had not played, Gabe, in 3 weeks, since May 10th was the last time he had played a game. To all of a sudden insert him there, weird. Assuming there's no injury here, either you are throwing in the white towel for Game 1, we'll lose it, we got to get Fleury some rest here, or there's an injury that we don't know about. I thought it was a weird call.
No, there's no injury. They basically stated that they've been wanting to get Leonard in for a while. And you know what I mean? That they're going to need him at some point, that he hadn't played since May 10th, and they were concerned about that. Right? Now, you know, part of me gets it in a way. Marc-Andre Fleury isn't young, right? But the one thing with this is it's almost like Rob Johnson, Doug Flutie-ish in a way. It seems like they're always in a hurry to push Fleury out of the way. Like, even though he just carried your ass, right? They've done this before. And look, man, the season started with Fleury's agent tweeting out a sword through his back, right? Like, so it's not new, right? It's not new. Like, DeBoer likes Leonard, right? He doesn't look at him like it's a downgrade, right? I don't think it's like the end of the world. I think they could have lost anyways. Really, but at the same point in time, now, whatever, Fleury will be locked in for the rest of the series.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
All right, more with Kurtz on the other side. Bring it.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
Hey, technology grand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid is available on the radio, internet, TV, satellite,
and don't forget
our mobile app. So if you're not getting it,
you're just not trying.
Keep it right here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
The Late Night Anger Match Request. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Brent. He's throwing it down. Jordan Kurtz with us. Rick Saratella will join us from New York a little bit later on. We'll talk some NFL football with Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible. Big night in the National Hockey League tonight. The New York Islanders avert an 0-2 deficit to the Boston Bruins with a 4-3 win in overtime. Meanwhile, the Montreal Canadiens win their 10th consecutive Game 7, dating all the way back to 1980 when they lost to the Minnesota North Stars. And I was talking earlier about tradition mattering, George, and the Canadiens are a weird team like that where they're kind of mediocre. You know, every year is the same with this team. They start off hot. They hit the wall. They fire a coach. they struggle. They get hot. They hit a wall. And then the playoffs start. Like, I swear to God, like, I've covered this team a long time, man. I remember, like, it used to be, like, just, like, in a regular season, when in a regular format, like, it would be, like, they'd be, like, 13-4. Around Christmas time, they'd lose, like, 6 in a row. By February, they want to fire people. And then by April, everyone's happy and chanting in the playoffs. And Carey Price is saving their ass. And it's almost rinse and repeat. And that's what this year has been all about. And you look, man, I tweeted about earlier, George, as you saw. And that was a very compelling tweet that I had. I even bet more after that tweet. When I said, why are they minus 220? They haven't won in 17 years. Their superstars have vanished in the series. Their best defenseman, Muzzin, is out. The Canadians have the better goalie. What wasn't there to like about Montreal tonight, really? They hadn't won a playoff series in 17 years. And look, like last year, George, the Canadians played well against Pittsburgh. They played well against Philadelphia. They took the Flyers 7 games after beating the Penguins. And they were kind of a mediocre team in the regular season last year as well. There's certain teams that just sort of play better in the postseason. And now, this is the first time that the Jets and the Canadians have ever played against each other in the playoffs in either team's history. But listen, one team's won 24 Stanley Cups. The other team has won nothing ever before. There's something about legacy, and there's something about goalie hockey playoffs. It's like baseball, Kurtz. You know it. You're a baseball fan. Carey Price right now is like having the ace of all aces, bro. The guy, he's next level right now.
Listen, you know me. I'm a football, baseball, hockey guy. All right, I think goaltender is the most important position in sports. If you have one, you have a chance. We see it over and over and over again. Why aren't the Penguins and the Capitals here? Because they had no goaltending. Jarry was terrible. Vanacek, Samsonov, Craig Anderson, whoever washed it through a net, they weren't much better. Edmonton had no goaltending at all in their series versus Winnipeg. You need a goaltender. Right? I find it amazing every offseason when these teams, where teams will want to trade a goaltender, can't get equal value for it. And it's been going on for years. It's just weird to me why goaltenders don't go for more in trades. So I just find it strange here. Why did the Islanders win? They won because of goaltending. Everything else, Pittsburgh dominated almost every facet of the game except goaltending. Islanders won. You can make the same argument for Montreal. Carey Price was a brick freaking wall, and he won the series. Talbot almost stole the series from Minnesota. He won a couple of games literally by himself to get that game to a game 7. Then, hey, it ended up not working out there, but he got them there. It was the goaltending. In my mind, it's the most important position in sports. You want to argue quarterback in football? I think it's an interesting debate.
How about this? Carey Price is now 23-1 in his last 24 playoff games if the team scores 3 or more goals in front of him. That's crazy, bro. Like, you score 3 goals, he'll win the game for you. Like, you know what I mean? You score 3, you win. Simple as that. I know it's not easy to always score 3, but I think it's 15-0, too. So it's 15-0, last 15, and now 23-1, last 24. playoff games for the Canadiens. If the Canadiens score three goals at a playoff game, they're 23-1 with Carey Price, guys. That's a crazy number, Kurtz.
I think, personally, I think Vasilevskiy is the best goaltender in the NHL. But a healthy Carey Price is right there. And if you put Price on the Tampa Bay Lightning, he might be the best goaltender in the NHL. And he's doing more with less. We know Tampa is a much better team than Montreal. Price is the man there. And the man shows no emotion, right? I mean, Game 7 didn't bother him tonight. It didn't bother him at all. To me, it's another day at the office. You know, I thought he was amazing in this series. I really did. I think there's very little doubt in my mind that he's the reason they are where they are. And if I'm Winnipeg, yeah, you may like it. I'm sure the fans, playing Montreal, lesser team. You like that. But then you're thinking, we got to beat Price. You know, we got Hellebuck's really good himself, but our defense isn't so great. You know, Montreal scores a couple of goals on Hellebuck. Price may not give him up. Yeah, we'll see here. But I think Carey Price, and like I said, when they were good in the beginning of the year, right, when everyone was talking, they go, oh, they went to Stanley Cup, they played so great, it was Price was healthy. Then he wasn't healthy mid-year, right? He had problems, and then they fell off a little bit. Now he's healthy again. This is a dangerous team because of Carey Price.
And let's not forget the Canadiens as a team got COVID as well, right? As a team, they were off for, like, I don't know, 18 days or I think 21 days, 17 days, whatever it was. And they fired a coach, right? So, they fired a couple of coaches. They fired assistant coaches. They fired head coaches, right? They brought in new coaches, new goalie coaches, they got desperate. But in the end, we can't overanalyze it. And I don't know, Carey Price is a difference, but what is it, George, about the Leafs that they can't win? Like, you look at this team. I mean, you've got Matthews, you've got Marner. I suggested that you're going to have to break this up. There's no choice. There's no choice. Like, they're now, this unit now, it's been like 5-6 years, bro. You know what I mean? Like, the graphics, I saw the stats. This goes back to 2017, this group. So 4 years, 5 years. So 2017. 3 years in a row to the Bruins. 3 years in a row to the Bruins. One loss to the Capitals. Last year to the Jackets. Now this. Okay, you could say, man, we got bad luck to the Bruins and, blah, blah, and then the Capitals. But come on, George. Like, you can't just keep putting Nylander, Marner, and Matthews out and expecting different results. And I think it's tailored. It's a perfect fit that you've got Eichel, who clearly is never going to play for Buffalo again. And you got the Leafs, who have a bunch of talent here. Like, there are very few teams, George, that can actually pick up the phone and call the Sabres and say, we have something that we can give you for Eichel. You know what I mean? Besides, like, top draft picks. But I say Marner's the guy. Give them Marner, and I know you're going to have to throw something else in maybe, but not much more. And Marner's kind of Marner's father is one of these dudes that thinks everyone else is holding him back, George. Like, his father's actually, is in Leaf chat rooms all the time, ripping the team, and, he's the one. You know what I mean? Like, he's the one. It's like, all right, kid, you and your father, you think you're so great. You know what I mean? Go to Buffalo and take over that team and see if you're so great, and we'll get Jack Eichel back in return for you. I think that makes perfect sense.
My only knock on that would be I don't see Buffalo trading Eichel within the division. Right, they'll assume the divisions go back to normal next year, which yeah. I think they're going to. I don't see that happening. I think Eichel is gone from Buffalo. That's a nightmare scenario there. They're still battling over whether or not he should have surgery or not. And that might hurt it anyway, because if he decides that he wants the surgery, and they've delayed this so long, that he's not going to be ready by the beginning of next season. So that's going to make the trade somewhat interesting here. Now, I've argued for a couple of years now, when Nylander came up and he held out, then Marner came out, when their contracts came up, I thought they should have traded one, if not both, and gotten the ace defenseman. I think they're missing that, the Hedman type, the Carlson type. I think that's the guy they need. I think they need a top goaltender. Campbell was good, solid, but he's not any of the goalies we've talked about tonight. He's not Price. He's not Vasilevskiy. He's not Hellebuck. He's not as good as the Islander goaltenders, Varlamov and Sorokin. They need that goaltender. I do think Campbell's the right goaltender for that team. I think he's better than Frederik Andersen on that team. I think Andersen's a better goalie on normal teams. But for the way that team plays, I think Campbell is a better goaltender there. But they need an ace. I think they need a top-line defenseman. Muzzin's a nice guy. But he's not a number one. Maybe he's a number two. Maybe. But I thought they made a mistake there. They were all nuts for offense. You signed Tavares to the big contract. You keep, you're a fantasy team. It's really what you are. You're a fantasy team. Matthews, Tavares, Nealon, DeMarner. These are all great guys you want on your fantasy team. But you, as you just said, it ain't working. You never get out of the first round. And I agree with you. You can keep making the excuse, oh, you know, you ran into Boston. You ran into Tampa Bay. Yeah, great teams. What's your excuse this year?
Yeah, that's the thing. And you know what? You are an Islander fan, and John Tavares, let's be real. The Islanders have had a hell of a lot more success without John Tavares, and the Leafs have had zero success with John Tavares. Just facts.
Oh, you're 100% correct. The Islanders went to the conference finals last year, right? They're ahead of them again this year. Now, listen, I'm not knocking Tavares. I'm not that guy. I do believe players should go where they want to play.
No, and I'm not blaming Tavares either. And Tavares got hurt in this series as well, right? So, yeah, Tavares.
I'm not rooting against Tavares because I'm an Islander.
But I just wanted to say, and I don't know how you feel about this, George, but like, I don't. If Tavares played, do you think anything would have been different? I don't.
He wasn't all that great this year, and he's still not a defenseman. You know, and he wasn't superb this year. So, no, I don't think it would have changed all that much. I think they'd probably still lose.
George Kurtz with us on the late night anger management class. So we've got numbers posted right now. And I told you guys that the Canadians and the Jets was a...
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Was a 5. George, they posted a 5 for game 1. There's always 5.5. So they posted a 5. But it's moved to 5.5 right now. But minus 144 to the under. The late anger management class continues.
Took you long enough to get here, Sporto.
Now that you've found us,
keep it right here for sports news you can use. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
So what do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
But why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. I see Craig Button is still trending on Twitter right now. So George Kurtz with us, and George, Craig Button, former general manager of the Calgary Flames, and now a NHL Network and TSN hockey analyst, predicted that the Toronto Maple Leafs would sweep the Montreal Canadiens, and people are coming at him pretty hard right now, which I get. But, you know, it's getting, like, pretty vicious and stuff like that, over the top. And that's the thing. You know, listen, you're in this business. You got to have an opinion. You have a prediction. You're not always going to be right. You know what I'm saying? But now people are, like, they're making fun of his hair and, oh, this is why you got fired. And this is cold. Now, Russ Amber, who's even on, he's got coworkers coming at him now, George. He's got Russ Amber, TSN's Craig Button, said the Habs wouldn't win a game. Wow. The coach? Really? Even you, the coach? That's unbelievable. Man, you make a wrong prediction, George, man. People come at you. Trust me. I'm sympathizing with Button. I've been there before.
It's not fair because I know one thing. When it comes to predictions, it's one of the least things I like doing because people only remember the wrong ones, right? That's all they're going to remember, the wrong ones. When you get it right, no one cares. You know, you got it wrong. Listen, I had Toronto winning the series. It cost me money, too. I won tonight on because I finally went away from them, but I lost money on games, five and six. I thought they would end it, and they didn't. So I thought they would win the series. I didn't have it a sweep, mind you, but I think I had it six. I didn't have it going seven. I certainly didn't have it going seven. I might have had it going five. Certainly wrong on that one. Learned my lesson. You know, what are you going to do here? I wonder if Button really, when he made the prediction, if he really put down Montreal. That'd be my guess is what he said.
Well, he said they didn't have a chance of winning a game. Yeah, he did, and he emphasized. They don't even have a chance of winning a game, he said.
You can't do that. That's not, you know, you can't put down. That's going to tick people off.
But how about Wayne Simmons? Wayne Simmons.
Yeah.
Wayne Simmons. Yeah, George, for people tuning in, Wayne Simmons. The Canadians offered him a deal. They called him when the Leafs did. And he goes, I didn't even answer the phone for the Canadians.
Yeah, I don't know why people make those kind of declarations.
How'd that work out,
you're
Wayne?
You're setting yourself up.
How'd that work out?
You're just setting yourself up when you do stuff like that, man. Just say, no, I want to play for Toronto. But don't say, they had no chance. Like the Canadians are some afterthought team. You know, I mean, come on, it's the New York Yankees of hockey here. Yeah, they may not have been all that successful of late, but you're still talking about obviously an original 16, great team. You don't put them down like that.
George Kurtz showing some respect. See, that's it. We got a 24-time Stanley Cup champion taking on a team that came into the league through the WHA, which I think is pretty cool. So we got the WHA Winnipeg Jets. It's crazy that they never played each other in the playoffs, but they weren't in the same conference ever, right? And the Jets weren't in the NHL that long, really, George, right? So, you know what I mean? When the Jets come into the NHL, like 1980, when was the merger? 79, 80?
I think it was 79, right?
Yeah, 79 or 1980. Gretzky was like 1980, 81 type thing when he was a rookie. Whatever. So you know what I'm saying. So then they folded, right? And then they came back. So I guess that's why they never played. But yeah, first time ever. So who do you think, George? I brought it up earlier too, that it's not to take anything away from Campbell, because Jack Campbell has no reason to hang your. You've had a hell of a year, Campbell. You set a Leaf record, bro. You won like your first 11 games, NHL records, even whatever. You know what I mean? You came out of nowhere. You know, you're not the reason why they lost. Like, there's no one can say, you know what, Campbell, and I mean, Campbell cost us. No one can say that. But at the same point in time, he also didn't steal it for the Leafs. You know what I'm saying? But my point is not to throw Campbell under the bus, but the Canadians are playing a tougher goalie right now in Hellebuck. Right? This guy's the real deal. This guy's a good goalie. Except he's been shaky in the past at times in the playoffs. The Jets haven't had a ton of postseason success either. And I think the Jets were almost benefactors, George, of playing the Edmonton Oilers, bro, who have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But also, you saw they choked last year against Chicago. There's a history of this stuff with these Canadian teams and these skilled teams. Right? Look at McDavid, bro. They had 105 points this year. He got swept.
Oh, if you want to talk about the Oilers, I mean, you think about the Oilers and Jets. And just think about if you're a fantasy league. Yeah, you take a McDavid and Draisaitl first, and then what? The next six, eight players are all going to be Jets? The Oilers are a two-man team. You know, that's all they are. In the playoffs, you could stop that. They'll game plan more for that. But in my mind, the goaltender was just the immense difference there. Hellebuck, you're right. He was shit. He got benched for a little bit there. There was some turmoil going there. He got benched. Shifley had gotten benched. They had some problems there. And but the coach pretty much told him, forget about it. Forget about the regular season. Doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. Well, what matters is now, and they seem to have figured things out. I mean, they really went through Edmonton. Listen, Edmonton probably should have won a couple of games, maybe a couple of bad bounces, whatever. They're gone. But Hellebuck is a top five goaltender. And so that's they do have a real goaltender there. Their defense, so-so. We know their offense is good. Everyone's healthy now, right? Dubois, he came back anyway, so did Ehlers. But they'll be completely healthy now. It's the rest versus rust thing again. Now, I don't think that you're going to see Carey Price taking game one off because he played game seven.
No.
So, I don't see that happening. All right, so he's going to play there. But you do wonder, same thing. Will Winnipeg get off to a slow start because they haven't played? I mean, doesn't it seem like Winnipeg hasn't played in a month? I mean, it's been a long time since we haven't seen them, so did they get off to a slow start? You know, I do wonder that.
What's the worst spot here, though, George?
I'm going Peg in seven.
Peg in seven, huh? Winnipeg in seven, huh? I'm going to say Montreal in seven. I'm going to say Montreal in six or seven. How's that? Can I do that? Montreal are in six or seven. I think Montreal wins. I think they're going to beat them. I think they're going to beat them. I think they now, you know what I mean? They know Carey Price is the can't be beat. I like the style of play that they've adapted to in the last three games. I mean, George, in the first few games of the series, bro, the Canadians were like, they were taking shots from the way outside, like wrist shots. They weren't crashing the net. You know what I mean? They weren't playing with any energy. They weren't desperate. There was no sense of urgency. They were down 3-1 for a reason. Like, I don't, like, they just flicked the switch and, like, they played sort of desperate hockey finally from the drop of the first puck, right? Finally, when they, in the elimination game, when they were down 3-1, they actually came out, like, desperate. And they kept it going. They've been playing desperate hockey for three straight games. But, you know, how many times have we seen this, George, when in a hockey series or even in the NBA? But like when a team, you get used to one matchup against one team. You know what I mean? You've matched up against the same guys all the time. You're a little tired, especially now, bro. There's like very little turnaround, right? They're playing now. It's like less than 48 hours later, they're going to be on the ice. Their league gave them no rest. They're playing at 7:30 Eastern time even. That's 6:30 local. Like they're, you know what I mean? They even lose an hour on all of this, like on top of it. Aren't they kind of in a bad spot on Wednesday, or do you think they're hot right now? Which way do you look at it?
I mean, I find it interesting. Now, I think Winnipeg's the better team. I do think that. But if Carey Price is going to play as well in this series as they did last series, they got a damn good shot here. Damn good shot. The reason why I go Winnipeg is this. Hellebuck. They're not facing Campbell. And it's not a knock on Campbell. You just said everything you said about Campbell is true. Great season. It's not his fault they lost, but he's not Hellebuck. Hellebuck's a better goaltender. He'll make some saves that maybe he wouldn't. They do have a good offense there. Their defenses can be shaky, but I would still say their defense is better than Toronto's overall, but not by leaps and bounds. A little bit. And I've been on Peg. They were the only upset I picked in the first round for them to beat Edmonton because I like Peg. I've always liked Peg. They're that team I love to watch during the regular season, Gabe, because, you know, I come home at night where I'm reffing or whatever, 11:30, you turn on Peg and they're playing 6-5 hockey games. It's fun to watch. They're that kind of team. I've always liked watching them because they always seem to be on late night for me. So I went with them, and I'm going to keep on the bandwagon here. I'll the first to admit I don't see them winning next round, no matter who they play. It's a... Avs or Vegas, but I'm going to go with them against Montreal here. But I wouldn't be sure. I wouldn't bet a large amount of money on it. You know, I don't know if I'll bet anything on the series itself. I may go a game by game here because it wouldn't shock me at all if Montreal wins. And Montreal already cost me money. I didn't make up all the money I lost on Montreal with tonight. May have some of it, but not all of it. So they may be my little bugaboo here. But I like Peg in this series. I like how deep they are.
People are already turning on you now, Kurtz. Ah, come on. Winnipeg's not better than Montreal. One thing with Winnipeg, let's not forget, George, they did lose 11 of their last 14 games down the stretch, right? Like they, like you talked about, dude, they were benching everybody. Like all hell was breaking loose. They were like, the wheels had fallen off. Yeah, the playoff start, it was like, hey, we won game one. Hey, we won game two. Hey, we won game three. It was like one of those type of deals. And now everything's all good. I think Montreal's pedigree just finds a way. I think Carey Price is the difference. I think Carey Price is good enough to beat the Winnipeg Jets. I do think it's a battle, though. I think it's going to be a long series. Yeah, and I think that I'm going to take the Canadians. I'm going to say the Canadians. And then after, yeah, they're in real tough. They're in real tough. But what I want to see is the Nordiques jerseys. So, like, Colorado Avalanche, where there's Nordique jerseys sometimes, put those on and go back to Montreal in the playoffs. Oh, yeah. And we're really got old school stuff going on, man. Like, this story writes itself, bro. You imagine that? It's not the Nordiques, but it's close enough, man. Like, I think about that, Montreal. I'm getting goosebumps now already. I'm like, oh, my God. I was the first to think of it. I tweeted it today, too. I was like, you know, if we beat the Jets, probably going to play the Colorado Avalanche, who are the Quebec Nordiques. Let's be real. And they even wear the jersey sometimes. Like, oh, man, it would be too sick and just too good. And just for that sake, like, there has to be a brawl. Like, there would have to be a brawl, except they would never do that like yesteryear. There was an 18-minute brawl, guys, many years ago. It was Easter. Easter, things got pretty ugly at the Montreal Forum. It was literally like 18, 21 minutes, George. It was, what, 1982-83. Really vicious rivalry. So that's why I'm just like, it's not quite the same, but it kind of is. Like, the Avalanche are the Nordiques. And people actually like the Avalanche, too, in Montreal, too, because of Patrick Waugh and stuff, and they're the Nordiques, and there's a connection. And, yeah, speaking of Cole Caulfield, I didn't realize this, George, but J.J. Watt's on the Canadiens bandwagon. Wisconsin Badger. Cole is a Wisconsin Badger. J.J. Watt's, like, watching all the Canadian games and tweeting about it and stuff. So that's kind of a strange, like, out of all the people I would ever, never imagine on the Canadiens bandwagon in the playoffs is J.J. Watt. But J.J. Watt's tweeting a lot about the series. So, George, I've been so focused on the NBA and on the NHL. I saw the Yankees got swept in Detroit for the first time in 21 years. Is that true?
Just when I thought I'd get away from this.
Or did I hallucinate that? No, it happened, eh? Yeah. All right, we'll get that on the other side for George.
What is the winning edge? It's sports news you can use.
And you can only get it right here.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
As our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Working hard 24 hours a day to give you your USRDA of the winning edge. Everything a growing boy needs.
Sit up straight.
Get it right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. And just for the record, now, yeah, people are talking in our chat right now about J.J. Watt. And, yeah, J.J. Watt actually did play hockey and was actually good. Like, good, good. He was on, like, traveling teams. Like, he traveled to Canada, Germany to play. Like, and in fact, it's pretty crazy, Kurtz, if you punch it in. There's even an elite hockey prospects page. J.J. Watt. Little kid here, Wisconsin. Team USA. Like, can you imagine J.J. Watt in the corner, George, as a defenseman? Dear God. Or a power forward? Imagine J.J. Watt as a power forward coming down at you, bro?
No. No, I cannot. I think I might let him have the puck.
Like, oh, my God, J.J. Watt. Yeah. Man, that family, they're just such great athletes. I heard his brother play, too, but... You know, and I saw that about Cole Caulfield, and he actually tweeted the Canadians, yo, you got to play Cole Caulfield. And I was like, what the hell is this about? And it's like, oh, yeah, the Wisconsin Badgers. But I'm thinking, so what? Like, why would he, you know, he plays in Wisconsin. You're J.J. Watt. Like, really? Like, everyone that ever went to Wisconsin, you cheer for? No. But I looked in deeper, and I didn't realize that it's like, oh, yeah. And I sort of remembered. I'm like, yeah, it's true. He actually did play. I remember seeing him. I saw a video of him playing hockey before. And, like, he played up till he was, like, 13, 14 type thing, 15. But turned out, George, he was pretty good at football, too.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, things... I think things worked out for him. 6'5", 288 pounds. He would have been like the biggest NHL player ever. 6'5".
I think he made the right choice.
Yeah. The NHL doesn't pay that much. The NFL ain't the NBA, but still better in the NHL for salary. Not by much. So what? He's a 15 mil a year type thing. Crosby makes 12. George Kurtz. Good stuff, George. Thanks.
Anytime, Gabe.
Remember that state championship game you played in high school? Yeah.
We can't get over it either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.